Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we want to welcome you all for the next 60 minutes. I'll be here with you along with my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, which will be joining us momentarily, and our featured guest this evening, Ms. J. So we've got a great show for you tonight. It's part two of a show that we did a few weeks ago, and I trust that you all will certainly enjoy it. Just a tidbit out there, you can certainly go to my website, drjessewalker.com, and check out my store. You can also send me a message if you like at online, all one word, online at drjessewalker.com. That's online at drjessewalker.com. All right, so we're looking forward to having you all tune in tonight. It's going to be an outstanding show, and I'm always excited about it. Without further delay, because we want to get into the broadcast tonight and get started early. And let me go ahead at this time and bring in my co-host, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you tonight?
Oh, just wonderful. I'm always thrilled to get this show going. And how are you? And how's the weather out there in Atlanta?
Oh, it's lovely. Feels like summer to me.
Oh, you know, okay. Well, that
even though it's
good.
Probably in the 50s or 60s, but, you know, after 0 degrees or really cold temps, it seems like summer.
I can feel you there. Has there been more snow, more ice on the roads, or that seems to
be? Oh, not at all. It was like a spring day as far as I was concerned. But that's a matter of perception.
Of course. I don't know if it's because I don't live in a cold city or climate. I'm in Florida. But winter season is my favorite season. I'm sure that might be, as you mentioned, a matter of perception. That might change if I had to shuffle snow and go outside in freezing temperatures to warm my car. So that may change.
Right. Well, Dr. Walker, I just wanted to briefly share with our listeners, because it's been a while since I really shared that, you know, I am the author of a new book out called Dying to Wake Up, and it is an e-book that you can get on Amazon.com. So more information, they can go to my website, fosteringleaders.org. So.
Okay, excellent. That's right. And if you all, the listening audience that listen around the world, if you know someone that's published or have an idea or is doing something out there, you can always call into this show and you can use it as a forum. I am certainly open to that, giving you an opportunity to advertise your product or your services. So we pass that along the way, and we will do our very best to see that you get some attention out there. Let me go now to the top of the hour. We've got a young lady who's, we're going to give her a couple of minutes to promote another real life situation. This is Ms. Diana Booker. As you all know, I've offered her the opportunity to come on at the top of the hour, and she's soliciting funds through a website that she set up with, I guess she's collaborated with a company that helps people when they're going through a crisis in life. And Ms. Booker, of course, is dealing with breast cancer at this time. And so I'm going to go ahead and bring her in. Ms. Booker, thank you for joining us. You're on the air live. I don't know if you're in a position to talk tonight, but you certainly are on the air live. And, of course, if you're not feeling well, we can just keep you momentarily, and it's up to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again, Dr. Walker, and greetings to you, Ms. Blake.
Hello,
and yes, hello. Yes, and I have breast cancer. It has recurred after being in remission for 15 years. So I'm soliciting funds to get alternative therapy, and specifically dendritic cell therapy in Mexico. There's many clinics down there that have had great success using this therapy. But in order to get there, it's going to take funds. Insurance doesn't cover these types of therapies. My website is www.gofundme.com/helpdiana, and I spell that D-I-A-N-A, help Diana fight cancer. Once again, it's www.gofundme.com/helpdianafightcancer. And if anyone's out there, if your heart is impressed to donate to that site, any amount of money, I am eternally grateful, and may God bless you.
Well, certainly, Ms. Booker, and of course, you can, you've got this forum, and you have my Friday night forum to come on and solicit any funds that you need for as long as it takes until you reach the goal. And then there's an upcoming event that I've been asked to MC in Orlando, Florida. You want to give the listeners a little bit of information on that, Ms. Booker?
Yes, we're going to do a benefit concert. We're still waiting on final approval from the board of Patmos Seventh-day Adventist Church in Winter Park, Florida. But we have a tentative date set aside for April 5th around the hour of 5 o'clock. We're going to be having some wonderful singing groups there, the Ephesus Men's Quintet. We're going to have a Dr. Pearson who will be pontificating about alternative therapies and the 8 natural laws of health. Then also, graciously, Pastor Wentley Phipps, world renowned, will be there to give us his time and a wonderful performance, I'm sure. And also, another Carnegie Hall entertainer by the name of Neville Peters, and you can check out his website as well. Very talented, all individuals that are giving up their time to be able to help me to raise funds.
Yes, and my company, Dr. Jess Walker Inc., is going to be one of the major sponsors for this event. And we're looking at doing some other things for Ms. Booker to help her reach her goals. So any of you all that are listening, we certainly welcome that. And you want to give them the website once again just before we go into tonight's broadcast?
Yes, it's www.gofundme.com/helpdianafightcancer. Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. Walker.
You're quite welcome. We're going to ask you if you feel up to it, you can certainly stand by for tonight's broadcast. All right, we're going to go now to bring in, introduce to some and present to others our featured guest for this evening. She's going to go by the name this evening of Miss J, same as she did on part one of our broadcast. And we want to just go ahead and say hello to Miss J and let her know that, and we appreciate your patience, and you're on the air live. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing just great. Miss Blake?
Hi, Miss J. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ms. Blake. How are you?
Great.
Good.
All right, let's get ready to do this. This is part two. Let me go ahead and just sort of reiterate the story that we did on the broadcast January 28th. And for the record, we want to thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, the show does not have all the answers. But together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. Tonight's characters are Neville and Orlinda. This is a repeat of the story that we did in part one. For those of you all that may not have had an opportunity to listen to the archive, prior to getting married, Neville was warned that his fiancée, Orlinda, was the kind of woman that always made it about herself. Now, his friends who knew her, as well as select family members who really liked Neville, tried desperately to tell him about Olinda. In spite of all the warning signs, after dating her for just over a year, the couple married, and within 2 years, they were headed back to the courtroom trying to dissolve what turned out to be a nightmare of a marriage. Now, at age 42, this is Neville's second marriage and the first marriage for Olinda, who is 41 years old and has never had children. Neville insisted he had never in his life met anyone that comes close to Olinda and her selfish ways. He can't understand for the life of him what he was thinking about as he ignored all the warning signs. Now, here are some of the challenges he faced with Olinda. When it came to effective communications in their marriage, she seldom, if ever, gave fair share of time for Neville to express his views on anything that was bothering him about the marriage. Number two, she is extremely high maintenance and materialistic. Number three, she has very expensive tastes in spite of the fact that their combined gross income is $45,000 annually and living in a very expensive city. Number four, she does not seem to have any concerns for the future in terms of saving. She only desires to live in the moment. Number five, in their two-year marriage, she has yet to buy Neville a non-occasion gift, yet she is always, and I mean always, and yes, always again, expecting a weekly gift of some sort from him. Number six, she expects to be wined and dined weekly. Even the bills aren't fully paid. Even if the bills aren't fully paid, when she contributes to, which of course she contributes to on a minimal basis, and spends most of her money on makeup and clothing for herself. Number seven, she seldom cooks or cleans the house and expects Neville to work not only his two jobs, but also expects him to make sure he has money to have her feet, nails, and hair done at least once a week at the most expensive place in town. And Neville is at the point, in spite of his love for her, he simply cannot afford to be married to her any longer. It's not only keeping them broke, it's stressing him out. He has concluded that he is in a one-sided relationship, which of course brings us to tonight's topic. Should you stay in a one-sided relationship? And this, of course, is part two, and our featured guest is Miss J. Miss J, we're so grateful to have you once again. You were here with us for part one. Let me begin by asking this question. And I'm being a little sarcastic here. I mean, this man is already working two jobs. Shouldn't there be an expectation that she should get her nails and feet and hair done every week or two? I mean, even at his own expense. Is there anything wrong with that picture?
Yes, it is, because I think he married her just for show, because she was pretty, glamour, well maintenance, and I guess he wanted a Barbie doll on his arm, not realizing that she's all about herself. Given the story, she doesn't care nothing about him. It's always about her needs, and what she wants. And I think what he needs to do is just cut ties and let her go.
But do you think he's really in a one-sided relationship, or is it just his perception that these things, I mean, that's not normal in a relationship, that the woman makes it about her?
I mean, it's okay to make it about you, but you have somebody else to consider now. When you get married, it's not me, it's us, and you become as one. And for her to always want him to make sure that he has money to take care of her needs, if she's working, she should be able to put a budget for herself to pamper her every 2 weeks, maybe once a month. But in the meantime, she's not giving nothing back towards him. It's like she's saying to him, you want me? You marry me, so you need to take care of me. And it doesn't work that way. You have to work together. As a unit, as one. And she is draining him. I know how he I know how he feels. Trust me. Been there, done that, and I got the hell out.
Okay, we're going to come back to you in just a moment. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to try to get to as many callers as we possibly can tonight. So we're going to ask everyone if you should make a comment. Please confine your comments to a reasonable time, 15 seconds or less, so it'll give us an opportunity to get a lot of people in, and we'll be able to take some of the comments that come in. Let me go to Ms. Blake real quickly here. Ms. Blake, I mean, what's your definition? How do you define one-sided relationship? Is it anything along the lines of this story tonight?
Most definitely. I was thinking about my book, Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. And, you know, there are sisters out there or females out there who want a man to do these things for them, whether married or single, and yet they're not bringing anything to the table. And this definitely sounds like one of those situations.
All right. Let me go to the phone lines real quickly here. We're going to go to 305-684. Thank you for joining us. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us this evening?
Hey, Dr. Walker. This is Kim. Long time no talk.
Kim,
to
thank
you.
Okay. Kim, thank you for joining us this evening. Tim, I'm assuming you heard the story. Do you see this being a one-sided relationship? I mean, this guy was in love with her, and now he's wondering what was he thinking when he married her. Is there anything wrong with her being high maintenance? I mean, what do you think, Tim?
I don't see anything wrong with her being high maintenance. I mean, you want your companion to be nice looking, her parents to be nice. Let me ask you this question, Dr. Walker. What if she's doing everything else at home? What if she's cleaning, she's cooking, she's taking care of home? Is that one-sided? If he's working and she's taking care of home, is that still a one-sided relationship?
But she's
not.
In
this particular, right, she's not doing that, see, and that's what
we're
presenting.
I didn't hear that.
She's not doing that part. She's really making it all about her. But what would be your definition of someone who's in a one-sided relationship, Tim? What would make you think that someone is making it all about them, whether it was a man or a woman?
Well, just what she's doing. He's got to work. He's got to clean. He's got to do everything and then come home and give her, you know, take care of her. And she is high maintenance. So, yeah, that is a one-sided relationship. What is she doing at home?
All right. Well,
what is she doing at all?
Okay, go ahead. Let me just ask you this question real quick, Tim, and then we're going to go to the phone lines shortly. But what if the intimacy is really great and everything else is, I mean, just out the window? Should a person stay, Tim, in your opinion?
That gets old. No, still leave.
Really?
Tim, it looks like you lost. I mean, if the intimacy is good and everything else is just out the window, I mean.
It gets old. I mean, come on now. It does get old.
Okay, the intimacy is good, but the intimacy could be good somewhere else as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a moment. Let me take another call. We're going to go to, let's see. Okay, go ahead, Miss Jay, go ahead.
No, I'm saying that you get tired of that. Even though it may be out the wall, I mean, you doing everything you can to make sure that you take care of that part, but it's more than just being in a relationship. What about the communication? What about you making me feel like I'm needed, making me feel like you appreciate me? I mean, having sex is not everything. It's not.
And Dr. Walker, I have to say this. When the person's not stepping up and really being supportive emotionally, they just lose all of their sexy.
Exactly.
Let me see if we can bring another man in here. We're going to go to 954-826. Thank you for joining us. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
How you doing, Dr. Walker? It's James.
James, thank you for joining us this evening. James, what do you think? Do you lose all your sexy if it's a one-sided relationship? I mean, as a man, from a man's perspective, another man's perspective, would that woman lose all of her sexy?
Intimacy is supposed to be the culmination of everything that happens outside of, like, the bedroom. So if everything outside of the bedroom is in turmoil, then how can that intimacy, that emotional like connection be fulfilled? At that point, it's just an act. The emotional is gone because you don't, nobody is really into it for the enhancement of the marriage. It's just what you can get anywhere.
Okay. All right. So, Ms. D, is that what you mean when you're saying that it wears off, it gets cold, it wears out? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, because, I mean, if the person, if the other party is not really stepping up, doing what they're supposed to do, making sure that the bills are paid, you cater me, I cater you, we go out, have a good time, enjoy each other. I mean, you can't, it's bringing back memories right now. I'm trying very hard not to crack out. But no, sex is not everything. Sex is not everything. You got to wine and dine me and show me that you appreciate me at the same time and help pay the bills.
Right. If you're just joining us, Ms. Jay is our featured guest this evening. She was here for part one. Should you stay, the topic tonight is should you stay in a one-sided relationship? And we just presented a story which was a reiteration of part one. And Ms. Jay's background is she felt that she was in a one-sided relationship, and that's what she means when she's reflecting now. And it's obviously a scarful situation for her. So, Ms. Jay, we do appreciate you being on the air this evening. Of course, if there's anything that you want to pass on.
I'm good. Trust me, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
So do you feel, I mean, and I want to ask you some questions, but let's go to the phone lines also about a one-sided relationship. Let's quickly go to now, we're going to go to 786-985. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes, hello, Dr. Jesse Walker. This is Mrs. X.
Ms. X, thank you for joining us. Ms. X, thank you for joining us. Ms. X,
my comment is this seems to be a bat woman, a kept woman, arm candy, and it seems like she convinced him, it seems like she convinced her sugar daddy to marry her.
Okay.
He had no money,
okay,
though.
He didn't really have any money, but, you know, maybe she had the impression that he did. Ms. X, let me ask you, what is your definition?
If she wants to make sure that he has enough money to take care of her other needs and maintenance, he must have something. He said maybe a decent job.
Yeah, he has two jobs, to trying to support her, and he's come to the conclusion that he can't afford her anymore. Would you, if it were some relative of yours, Ms. X, would you encourage them to hang in there and maybe it'll get better?
Not if it's that one-sided, because a one-sided love affair could never work. You would be putting all of your emotions into that person, and that person is probably putting all of their emotions into someone else.
Okay. All right. Ms.
And
Blake,
all you're doing is taking care of them.
Okay.
Like just being selfish.
Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts on why is there such an imbalance, in your opinion, you know, when people feel that they're in a one-sided relationship? That was Ms. Blake.
There's a cup on the table.
All right, maybe we got some difficulty there on Ms. Blake's line. Let me go to Ms. Jay. Ms. Jay, why is it such an imbalance, you feel, when people actually feel that it's one-sided? Why, I mean, couldn't that be a matter of perception that it's not really one-sided, but the other party, because they're not necessarily getting what they want or what they think they should have, they feel now, oh, you're selfish. But is it really, I mean, just judging from this story tonight?
No, maybe he didn't see the signs while they was dating. He probably didn't get a chance to know her. And maybe he did, I mean, he did saw the signs. And like I said, because she was a trophy and she was beautiful and took care of herself, he wanted to show her off. And I guess he thought that once they get married, that she would change, but it got worse. So it's not doing him, and it's not doing him any good at all to stay in the marriage if she's not willing to bend and to meet him halfway. I mean, it's just hopeless.
Okay. All right, let's take a go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 917-399. Looks like a New York number. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us?
Hi, this is Ms. Dupree. How you doing?
Ms. Dupree, thank you for joining us. Ms. Dupree, I mean, you know, I'm having some difficulty here thinking that sometimes people say it's one-sided. And could it be one-sided because you're not getting everything that he wants? But based on the story tonight, it does give the appearance that it is one-sided. I mean, he ignored the warning signs. Even her family members tried to tell him what she was like. But, I mean, love is so powerful. Love is so powerful that sometimes people ignore it and they hang in there despite the warning signs. What do you think?
I actually just think that he married her for all the wrong reasons. She's a dime piece to him, and that's exactly why he married her, for her great looks and the way, you know, they look together out on the street as a couple. You know, there's no, I can't believe that he would marry somebody that he knew was a gold digger prior to marrying her.
Okay.
So that's
all right.
The way I
feel
about that.
Okay, we have an upcoming show that talks about beauty, you know, the importance of attractiveness. But let me just ask, let me go to Tim. Let's go back to Tim just for a moment. And Tim, let me ask you this question here. The question becomes, do you think that, I've heard people on the air tonight say that maybe she stayed with him or he stayed with her because of her beauty or, if you know, the assumption that she's beautiful. Do you think that happens in a lot of cases, that men will stay with women because they're attractive and the woman will stay with the man because he's handsome or so forth? What do you think?
Oh, yes, yeah, it's partly attraction, and some people are just lonely, desperate.
Okay, all right, all right. Let me go to James. Let me go back to James just for a second. James, the same question to you. Do you think people really... I mean, the attractiveness, they hang in there a little longer because someone is attractive? I mean, you think so?
No, because in that case, Halle Berry, she would have had a husband by now and not gone through so many. J-Lo would have done the same thing. There's a whole lot of host of other beautiful ladies in the entertainment world that don't have somebody, and they are very attractive. It's, you know... So the old saying is, show me a woman that is fine, and I'll show you somebody who's tired of her.
You can't use them because they're celebrities, and they have all this money, so they feel like they have. So that's why the men don't want to be with them.
But they also have issues, too, though.
But,
okay,
you know,
let me go.
This is the thing. This is the thing, and this is, like, what I found out is that every, like, relationship, there is always somebody that is more emotionally vested than the other individual. Is that the same as one-sided?
You know, that could very well be. You know, sometimes you might give one person 10 or 15 or 20%, and to them, on the receiving end, they might look at that as, wow, this person is head over heels over me. To them, they perceive that as 100%, when in fact they're giving 100%, but you're giving your 10 to 20%. So would you say that that's one-sided?
I mean, no, because, you know, as long as each person's emotional needs and their intimacy needs, they feel that they're being met and they're being, you know, everything is good, then no. But once a person's emotional needs aren't being met and they start complaining, you're not doing this and you don't talk to me, then that's when the one-sided starts.
Okay, that's a good point. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Blake, give me your – we went to you earlier. We had some technical difficulty and we apologize about that. But let me just get your take on how you see a balance when it comes to relationships as opposed to one-sided. And I would agree, too, with the callers tonight that this story is obviously one-sided. So give me your take on a balanced relationship where it doesn't seem one-sided, and brief.
Are you hearing me? Are we? Am I back on the line?
Yes, you are.
Awesome. Well, again, you have one individual doing mostly for the other. Love is a give and take, and so there's no balance. You know, the female is just in it for, she feels like entitled to everything. And I don't see in this story where she is doing anything for him. So a balanced relationship is not necessarily 50-50, but each person is putting the other person's best interest first.
Uh-huh. All right. Let me, Miss J, I want to ask a question because in our story, Olinda is 40. Neville is 41. She's 40. She's never been married and has no children. Do you think, do you personally think that that has a bearing on her behavior in terms of a relationship, making it all about herself?
Yeah, because maybe she wasn't ever exposed on how to love someone. And maybe she was the only child and she was given everything that she wanted. And I guess by her being, she's spoiled, period. She just outright, she's a spoiled brat. And if you haven't been exposed to love and know how to love someone, then yeah, it's going to be a problem for her. And in this case, it has. It has.
All right. Let me go to Miss X just for a second. Miss X, do you think? A person, this woman here, 40. If this, let's say you have a brother that was dating this woman and he complained to you about her selfishness or the one-sided relationship, what, if anything, would you likely tell your brother?
Well, first of all, I think sometimes in certain instances, male or female, when the other party perceives themselves to be a little bit over the top, you know, beautiful, handsome, well-built, chiseled, they think that they're entitled. But now hearing the ages of these two, I'm just wondering, 40 and 41, I mean, if she were 20 and he were 41, I might be able to not necessarily say that it's still right for it to be one-sided, but at 40 and 41, I kind of feel like she's over here for that. She's got to be one hot piece. That's all I can say. At 40, and he's gone through all of that.
Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and take a commercial break here. You're listening to Lives of Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to get ready to go to some of the comments. Just before we do, Miss J, I've got to ask you this question. You were in a one-sided, you felt that you were in a one-sided relationship, and you shared that with us before in part one. How long did you stay in that relationship, and then what gave you the strength or the power to actually be able to come out of that relationship?
Well, I stayed in there for too long. That's number one. Number two, it took me about maybe after I got married, around my 7th year anniversary, is when I realized that I was always giving, always doing, always making sure that things were met. Whenever there was a crisis, instead of us sitting down to discuss what we need to do, it's always, what are you going to do? So it was like the roles were reversed. I was the man and he was the woman. And I just woke up one morning and said, okay, enough is enough. I got to go. And I left.
But how long did you stay in that, though, before you left? How long were you married?
17 years.
17 years. And, I mean, was there something, oftentimes, in order for behaviors to change or someone's cup to run over, there has to be a traumatic or dramatic experience, according to psychology and science. What was your determining factor, your traumatic or dramatic experience that actually just motivated you to say, enough is enough, like you just put it?
When I was the one always paying the bills, and every time we wanted to go out, I'm fitting the bill. For our anniversary, instead of him taking me out, I'm taking him out, fitting the bill. If there's something I wanted him to do for me, as always, I don't have it or I can't. And I just got tired of always being the person who took the burden on the making sure that things got done around the house.
Was it like that when you were dating? I mean, weren't there any? No, it got worse.
Okay, when we first started dating, things were beautiful. We went in 50-50. Everything was good. He catered to me. I catered to him. It was like, I don't know whether he was showing me what he wanted me to see and not the real person until after the fact. Because, you know, when people start dating, they woo you to get you. And then when you get married, it's something totally different. But I saw the signs. But I ignored the signs, saying that if I marry this person, maybe they will change because I'm a good woman. I'm a go-getter. I do what has to be done. And I took care of home as far as a wife. I mean, out in the street, I was a lady. In the bedroom, hey, it was something totally different. But to me, I felt like I was just being taken advantage of. And my family told me, my dad told me, I'm being pimped. That was a nice word for him to say. You being pimped, dear, you need to wake up and look at the situation and just do something about it. And everyone saw it but me. I mean, I love the ground this man walked on. I mean, I treated him like a king.
Was he a handsome guy? Was he 7 feet, 6 feet five? Was he tall, dark, handsome? I mean,
he was the average person. I used to go by looks and height, but I go by a person's heart and a personality. And at the time when he was dating, he was a decent guy. I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with him. I mean, he dressed immaculate. I mean, he took his time making sure when he go out the attention is on him, which it was. I didn't
mind.
What
attracted you to him? I want to know that. What attracted you to him?
I guess he made me felt special when we first started.
Now you said something earlier, and I'm going to open it up a little bit here to my audience. I'm going to start with Ms. Blake, and let me give you a chance to respond first, though. And you said when you were dating, you would go 50-50 on things. Is that what I heard you say? Okay, I'm going to ask you to pause there for a second. Ms. Blake, she said she would go 50-50. Was that maybe a warning sign, one of the warning signs right there that, you know, that maybe she ignored?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, this is 2014. I think that a gentleman who is a real gentleman will maybe kind of insist, at least on the first few dates, saying, I'll pay. But, you know, in these days and times in the economy, it's not unusual to go 50-50 on a date. But if he's looking for that to happen, there's a little red flag.
Now, remember, she was married 17 years. So, Ms. Jade, how long have you been divorced now and out of that situation? Or let's say out of the situation? Pardon me?
2 years. 2 years.
2 years. So that's at least nine. And how long did you all date?
Seven.
7 years. So she was with this guy in 1999, like 26 years altogether. And so we're talking about 26 years ago, chances are. Now, again, Ms. Blake, would that seem a bit unusual that you're saying the guy's saying 50-50 at that time? I mean, we were probably in the 80s or.
Yes, it is. And even today, I have to rewind for a moment because, you know, I go on dates. And, you know, I'm going to offer to pay for half, but I'm watching his response. And if he's just a little too quick to be comfortable with that, that's a warning sign.
That's what I was asking you. All right, let's go to the phone line again. Let me go to James again. James, what do you think? Is that? I mean, give me your thoughts on that. Is it extreme? The women are being extreme, or should the man? I mean, give me your thoughts.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, some women want to be. They want to be, you know, a kept individual. There are all kinds of people in the world, and so maybe she found the wrong guy. She wants to be kept, and there are men who want to do that. Maybe she picked the wrong guy. You know.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you have to look at it that way. But you know, if somebody's saying every time they go out, you know, pay half. I mean, you know, that's not good. That's just point blank and period. That's not good.
Okay.
All right. Especially if that's your lady. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me
go to. Yeah. Okay. Let me go to phone lines again. We're gonna go to 305-760. 305-760. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening?
This is Nikki.
Nikki, thank you for joining us. Nikki, what do you think? Give me your thoughts, comments.
I'm just tuning in. I'm sorry I'm late. Can you just brief me a little bit?
Well, let me just ask you, how would you define or describe a one-sided relationship? When somebody is in a one-sided relationship, how would you define one-sided?
That's not going to work. I think any relationship should be 50-50. And if he's a man and he's about his woman, I mean, he's going to wind and dine her anyway.
Okay. So where's the 50-50 come in? So are you saying, Nikki, then, that when they go out, and we just had this conversation, this dialogue here, she should put up 50% of the bill and he pays the other 50% all the time?
Oh, no. I was talking about if you're in a relationship or you're married. But if it's like dating, I mean, I think it should go on the man's. It should go on the man's perspective.
Okay. All right. Nikki, we're going to ask you to stand by, and we're glad that you joined us this evening. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Tim. Let's see if Tim is still on the line with us. Tim, what are your thoughts? I mean, should the lady pay sometimes, 100%? Tim, let's see if Tim is still with us. Okay, maybe he isn't. Let's go to – let me see if Ms. Booker is back with us. Ms. Booker, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Do you think that when it's one-sided, if the man has paid for the last 3 months going out on a date, even if he's married, should the woman now pick up the tab and pay for the next at least 2 months?
Are they dating or are they married?
Well, whether they're dating or married, but they're dating or married, but they're clearly in a relationship.
I think it should be her prerogative, but nothing that should be expected of her, because I'm from old school. I think a man should pay the tab to take the woman out. He should show that he can take care of her. That's part of his duty as the mate, as the male in the relationship.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, and we appreciate that thought. And let me just go to Mr. Pree up in New York. Mr. Pree, we're hearing that it's her prerogative, but it shouldn't be the expectation. But even though Ms. Booker is from the old school, but isn't this a new day and time and age?
I'm going to tell you like my husband told me. My husband told me that you work too, and I want to be wind and dine sometime too. Old school, new school, it doesn't matter. The man don't want to have to pay the bill all the time. And you know what? I got used to him doing that. Like when we go out, he pays the bill no matter what. Like the
uh-huh.
other lady said that, you know, a gentleman should always be a gentleman, but at the end of the day, I learned to have my fair share of paying for dinner, too.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. Nikki, we're going to come back to you. Nikki, what do you think about that? And then before you answer, Nikki, Mr. Pree, how long have you been married now?
I've been married for 20 years.
Wow, so something that's working out for you. Nikki, what do you think? The man wants to be wine and dine, too, according to Mr. Pree.
Hello?
Yes. Nikki, what do you think? The man wants to be wine and dine, too. If she works, is there anything wrong with that?
That's okay. I could take him to McDonald's sometime.
That ain't going to work for me, sis.
Like
he's
taking me to
wow.
a five-star restaurant, we good.
Can he at least
because
least
his sole purpose is winning the heart of his woman.
Okay.
And, you know, the women are very easy. I mean, men are very easy, but once you get a heart of a woman, I mean, you got her. So all bets off.
Whoa, let me go. Kim, are you still on the line? James, are you on the line? Are men really
yes,
easy?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, are men really easy?
Okay, listen. A man should always be prepared, but it is
okay.
Nice if I take out my credit card and she says, no, baby, I got this tonight. This is on me. That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. I agree.
Wouldn't you appreciate her even more knowing that she's not a gold digger and she appreciate and you appreciate her giving something back in return as well?
That's right.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you're married and all of a sudden you see your wife or your partner always doing for you, wouldn't you feel bad and want to do for her as well?
And don't get
comfortable?
I mean, you know, I've always paid, but every now and then it's nice if I take out my charge card and say, you know, and prepare to pay, and she says, I got it. But a man should always be prepared to pay. Everything else is, I mean, I don't know. That's just how I was raised.
Okay, so what causes a man to lack manhood on how to treat a woman? Could it be the back? Could it be the upbringing? They never was taught how to treat a woman.
Let me tell you that I think goes back to a lot of fathers not being around the sons, teaching them. Nobody's teaching these young men, you know. Because on my very first date, my parents watched out my front door and made sure I opened her door, and that was like the standard that was set. And
wow.
You know, and maybe, you know, young men aren't being taught that.
Right. Are you married?
No, but I'm getting ready to get married in July.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask both of you all to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to Ms. X. Ms. X, what do you think? A one-sided relationship. And I asked you earlier, what would you tell your brother if he was in a one-sided relationship? Or a close person, or if you're in a one-sided relationship, what would you do? What would give you the motivation that you can tell the listening audience tonight to get out of that relationship?
Well, first of all, if it is the choice of the man who's playing his role as head of household, and that's his choice to allow these things to happen, to take care of that woman in that relationship in the way, if he sets those ground rules and perimeters, that's one
mm-hmm.
thing. But on the other hand, if it were my brother or my son or someone like that, I would immediately tell them to exit. If it was my daughter and she was in a relationship like that, I would immediately tell her to exit that relationship. I think that one or the other party has an obligation emotionally, psychologically, and otherwise to fulfill their roles in that relationship. And if
Absolutely.
They're not doing that, then someone is going to be lacking. And I just can't see how, you know, it's going to work.
And that's where the one-sided comes in.
Right. If they choose to want to do those things that this guy, see, this is not a choice for him. He is not choosing because obviously he's frustrated by the fact that he has to do it. And I go back
right.
to what the guy James said. He said there are some men who don't mind having kept women. But if you're one of those who minds, then that's different.
That's an important point. Ms.
Yes.
Blake, you want to come in and give me
yes.
your thoughts?
Yes. Yeah, and I'm going on a different route real quick. You know, marriage is how people build wealth. And this lady is holding her husband back. And I tell people, and it may not sink your ship, but it certainly will stop it from moving forward.
I like that. I like that. All right, let me go to Ms. Dupree here. Let's bring her back in, and I want to ask this question. Mr. Breed, when you feel that someone is in a one-sided relationship, what do you think are some of the elements that would keep a person in a one-sided relationship other than the love addiction?
I mean, what else might there be that keeps a person in that?
Sex.
Oh, sex. Okay. anything else? Okay, that's what we were asking earlier about.
That's the only other thing that I can think of, but I wanted to comment on what your last person just said about the wealth, marriage, bill, wealth. I'm going to say it in a jokingly manner. I mean, I'm wealthy as far as love and the life that we have together, but I still don't have no wealth as far as money going on, and I've been married for 20 years, so I don't know where the wealth came from. I mean, neither one of us was born with a silver spoon, and all of our money goes towards bills and our raising this family and keeping our marriage together. So,
right. Yeah, and there are different definitions of wealth, and you kind of brought that out.
Right, absolutely. Let's take a comment that's come in to the studio. Several of them have, and we've got only about 8 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Female writes in, she says, should you stay in a one-sided relationship? Thank you for doing part one and now part two. And she says, I'm thankful for the husband that I have in my life. She said that we had our initial problems with this very issue of one-sidedness, and after several weeks of communications on a trial and effort basis, they finally got it right. What we came to realize is if you put your significant other's needs first with an intrinsic desired outcome, you are both likely to make the entire relationship about each other. Ms. J, what do you think about this comment? She says, put your other person, your significant other's needs before your own. And you're both. If both of you do that, it's likely to work.
That's true. I agree with her. That's true. But in my case, you know, my needs wasn't being met at all.
But then, in that case, I gotta ask this question because my listening audience, they really want to know, what would make you stay there 17 years?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
All 17 years were not. I'm assuming that all 17 years were not like this. I mean, would you say that 2 of the years were like this, 12 of the years were like this, 15 of the years were like this?
It was like 7 years.
You had 10 good years of marriage, pretty much 10 good years of marriage.
Well, I should not have been married in the beginning, point blank. But I did. I shouldn't have gotten married in the beginning, but I did just because of the general purposes. I already had the wedding. People was already there. I mean, at the last minute, I was about to say, I can't do this, but I did it anyway.
But you did it anyway because to avoid the embarrassment and everything. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I believe people stay also because they don't want to be lonely. I mean, people are scared these days not to be alone. They'd rather have a person there that's not committed and love them, but as long as they have a person there with them, they're okay with that.
That's a good point, Nikki, and we appreciate you bringing that out. Now, Ms. J, I just want to ask, I want to say to the listening audience, because it's been, you're over this now, and we can all laugh with you about this, but we're not laughing at you. You're over that now, right?
Talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, shit, I'm fine. I'm living the life like I should have if I had someone that was worthy, because I'm telling you, I am living the life. I am having a ball.
You have a ball. Okay. All right. Let's take another comment.
You lead a relationship with no grudges. It's easy. It's easy to go forward.
See, the thing about it, we don't talk. It's like we've never been married. We're strangers. I've gotten over it. During the time that we were together, I was going through my transition of trying to prepare myself to leave. But in his case, he thought, are you not going anywhere? I said, okay. I gave him warnings, went to counseling. I shared my thoughts, my feelings, and he ignored me. So I was like, okay. I'm just gonna have to leave, and I did. So I'm doing great.
Was there ever a point when he came, when he pleaded for you to come back, or did he ever come looking for you? You know,
he did ask me what did I did wrong. And you being a man, if I have to tell you what you did wrong and I explain it to you over and over again, then you got an issue. I'm not going to sit here and raise a man. I'm not going to do that.
Right. But, you know, something that Jane said earlier, and I'm paraphrasing here, and sometimes it's environmental, you know, and how a person is raised. Like he said, he was raised where his first date, his parents stood outside. I mean, they stood at the window or nearby within visibility to see if he opened the car door for his date. James, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so what if your husband at the time, because the fact that he asked you that question, what did I do wrong? What if he were raised differently than James and perhaps a number of other men, and he didn't really know that he was doing anything wrong? He didn't know he was in a one-sided relationship. He thought this was the norm.
No, that's a bunch of bull. I don't believe that, because as you get older, you should be able to understand and realize that your wife or your companionship is giving you everything that you want. So there ain't no way in hell, excuse the expression, that you can just sit back and reap the benefit and don't even try to meet a person halfway. No,
that's not true.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
That's not true.
Okay.
And I take it from Ms. Jay's verbalization that she shared that. She was not one of these women that give the silent treatment, and the man had to guess it. You know, would that be correct, Ms. Jay?
But listen, someone like a child that has been abused, 9 times out of 10, they're hurt and they hate it. But a lot of times they go up and do the same thing. Now, why didn't they learn that that was wrong?
Right.
But they go up and they do the same thing because it's a pattern.
Right.
But you can break the pattern, though.
But they don't do it. That's the thing. Everybody can break the pattern, but it doesn't happen. And maybe he didn't break the pattern. Maybe nobody showed how to break the pattern.
No, that's my choice. You choose not to break the pattern, because if you're being told exactly going on, and if you're sharing how you feel, your thoughts, that will make a person stop and think about themselves to, let me see what I need to do to try to make her feel that she's appreciative, or maybe to let me change some of my ways to make her believe that I do love her and I'm not taking advantage of her. He didn't do that. It's always a take.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me interrupt just for a second here. We've got about 90 seconds before we bring the show to a close, and I really appreciate everybody being on here. Next week, and I hope that everybody, by the way, I hope that everybody have a wonderful I keep saying Thanksgiving, so Valentine's Day. I hope everyone did. But next week's topic, don't want to miss this. Next week's topic is, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, should you stay if the relationship is abusive? If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, should you stay if the relationship is abusive? Now, I want you all to think on, because next week we're going to be doing that as a part one series. So I want you to think about that. But to conclude with tonight's broadcast, Ms. J, I do want to ask this question, and that is, you know, in 20 years or less, what do you just finally tell somebody if they're, you know, if they're so weak-minded, whether it's a man or a woman, and they need to get out of that relationship, what would you tell them in 20 seconds or less?
Seek God, pray about it, and follow your heart.
And follow your heart. Okay, Ms. Blake, what would you say, giving you the last word here, what would you say?
Realize your value and your worth, and don't settle.
And don't settle. Just get out of the relationship. Well, you've heard it live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show this evening. I trust you all have enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did. And, you know, we're out of time, and this hour goes so quickly. Please join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. It airs now at a different time, from 7 to 7:30, as opposed to 8 to 30. So if you choose to bypass this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program, please join us next Tuesday when our topic will be, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, should you stay if the relationship is abusive? Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to all my listening audience around the world, thank you all so much for joining us tonight.
Those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we do apologize. Join us this Friday or next Tuesday. And until then, everybody, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.